You're listening to Packers Talk Network. PackersTalk.com.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
I came out of nowhere. It's all over my shorts.
Check New York Bozo! New York Bozo! New York Bozo!
I'm gonna go so angry Jim Rome on you, Brian, it's gonna be ridiculous.
Jordan made some good points, and that was cute.
Who, me?
Well, you're real handsome. Your eyes look real nice today in that jersey, Brian, tell you that right now.
And bring you some more devastation and more knowledge and more fun facts about
Did you just promise
tonight?
That we're going to go devastate all of our listeners?
Good evening, Packer Nation. Welcome back to another edition of Pack to the Future podcast. As always, I am your host, John Jameson, and joining me tonight, we have the boys. The boys being Brian Fonfara, Dusty Evesley, and Jordan Peck. Ladies and gentlemen, Jordan, you are the lady. How are you doing tonight? Brian, hello.
It's going to be that kind of show, huh?
Oh, yeah, it's already started, bud. The heat's already in the kitchen. The sauce is cooking. The pot's hot.
Dude, I'm going to be completely honest here. You introduced us as the boys, and my plan for when you said, Brian, how are you doing, was to say, I can't speak for all of us, but I know that at least Jordan is a man. And then you called him the lady. You just completely ruined my intro.
That's why I do the intros, Brian, because I know what the people want. I know what the people want to hear.
Man, I'm just sick of being at your mercy, John. It's a really difficult spot to be in.
It's a great place for me to be, though. I'll tell you what. Brian, did you have a good week?
True. I did have a good week. I did.
It's very early in the week, but you're having a good week.
It is. I'm having a good week. It was a good weekend. I did the Susan G. Komen 5K for breast cancer on Sunday morning. I had to wake up at 6:30, but I got over it. I saw my, uncle-in-law play in his band on Saturday night, and that was fun. Got a work trip to Boston coming up this week. I'm doing pretty well.
How many times in the 5K did you think of the Michael Scott line, I'm going to get up and I'm going to finish this GD 5K? At least eight?
For the cure. Oh, yeah. That was on my mind the whole time.
I bet it was.
And to make matters even better, right now I am drinking Spotted Cow, and I haven't had that in a while. And I know it's not Wisconsin's best beer or New Glarus' best beer, but damn it.
It's a taste of home.
I am enjoying this.
It is a taste of home. And as always, as what we've been doing this year, I have a trivia question. And Brian, you always start us off, and this is the question this week, and it has nothing to do with 1982, which I know everyone at home's really disappointed about. But
that's a bummer. Because I didn't study any Packers trivia, but I studied 1982 trivia, and now I'm just completely unprepared.
Wait, did you see that was the year my brother was born? Did it have anything about my younger brother being born that year, Brian?
Yeah, basically, so I got to your younger brother being born, and then I stopped studying.
Cool. All right, yeah, that's good.
The question is as follows.
Okay.
The Packers and Bears have been longtime rivals. They've been playing each other for a very long time. And this week is a very special game in being that the series is tied right now. Both teams, 94 wins, and there are 6 ties mixed in. When was the last year that the Packers held the lead in the Packers versus Bears series?
1982. Duh.
All right. That is a very logical answer. And
yeah,
and your answer has been noted. Dusty Evesley.
Hey.
My man.
Hey.
How you How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm tired, but you know, we're coming off a not beautiful, but a thrilling victory with some immediately iconic plays that I figure I remember for a very long time. I'm sitting here with you boys. I'm drinking. I'm talking about the Packers. How could I be doing better?
Again, Jordan is a man.
Okay, I apologize. He's 40. Yeah, it's fine.
Thank you.
My voice, Dusty, doesn't get your heart throbbing and your brain all energized.
I wish you'd stop saying that to me, John. But yes, it does.
Throbbing.
Yes,
it does. My goodness.
Oh, Dusty.
Hey,
you heard the trivia question.
Yeah, Brian's answer was really good.
Do you have an answer for when the Packers last held the lead in the overall series between the Packers v Bears?
I feel like I should know this, and I know the Packers were down because they had some truly, truly terrible years, so I'm going to go slightly earlier. I'm going to go ahead and say, because I know the Packers probably lost that in the probably during their terrible years in the 80s, so I'm going to go ahead and say, I'm going to say 79.
1979. Yep. Your answer has been noted.
Thank you.
Jordan Peck. Hello, friend.
Mm-hmm. How's it going, John?
I'm doing well. How are you, Jordan?
Can't complain. Life's pretty good.
How'd your softball team do tonight?
Not good.
Oh,
that was not good.
Boy.
Yeah. Kind of down. The softball team is in dead last, and we were playing the team that was 8-0 and had given up about 30 runs in 8 games, which is pretty insane for softball.
That's outrageous.
So it was, it was a rough night.
Who do they got? Pedro night. On the mound?
Well, this the way they have the league divvied up, they have a lower rec league, which is what we're in.
All right, Jordan, the trivia question
upper
is...
Upper rec league, and that's the team, that's the league those guys should be in. I'm gonna get in my thoughts. That's my final thought. I gave it way early.
Jordan, so you said your team is in last place. What place would your team be in if you were not on that team?
Probably... still in last, yeah.
Yeah.
My guess would be that you guys would have been promoted to being like a AAA baseball team.
Yeah, we're getting relegated this year. Definitely getting relegated this year.
Bummer.
I feel like me and Brian played on a softball team for a very long time together, and we were up in the A League 1 year, and it was terrible. But then we go back down to the B League, and it was like, all right, we're winning every single game, like. Being relegated in a softball league is one of the best things that can ever happen to you. It really is. Jordan, Mr. I know everything about everything sports wise. What is the correct answer for when the Packers last held the lead in the Packers versus Bears series?
I think this is kind of more of a trick question. I think it's going to be way earlier than you all think. So I'm going to guess somewhere in like the 40s. I'll guess 1948. I'm just going to go really early.
Jordan is by far the closest. The last time the Packers led in the Packers versus Bears series was the year 1932.
Holy cow.
1932. Yeah, let that soak in a little bit.
I think I was the closest because I got 3 of the numbers correct.
Wait, that's true.
That's how math works, so you, Brian. Yeah, that's exactly
yep,
how math
Brian,
works.
Just,
if you just erase the left part of the 8, he would
have
been right.
That's like,
dude,
that's,
like you didn't even have to change an entire letter for mine. No, I got this one.
It's a number. Like it's a number, plus... Brian. It's not a letter. It's a number.
That's like that classic, what's 1 plus 1? 11? Like, come on.
Classic. 11. Classic.
Yeah. So Brian holds a tiebreaker going into the coin toss. So Jordan,
yes.
Choose wisely. As you judge this week's patented coin toss segment.
All right. So, just getting into the coin toss here. First question. This is going to go to Brian and Dusty. And this is actually the theme of this week's coin toss is all defense for the Packers. So, first question to you guys. Over under 4.5 sacks for the Bears defense against our banged up offensive line here. So, Brian, if the coin is heads, you're going to say over 4.5. And if it's tails, you're going to say under 4.5 for the Bears defense. It is tails. They're going to go under 4.5 sacks.
Under 4.5 sacks, because the news that came out today as we record on Tuesday night that Bulaga and Bakhtiari both practiced. That's really what the hope hinges on, is those two playing, and it kind of looks like they're going to. To be honest, even if one of them are playing and they only have to put help on one side of the offensive line, they can start to get the ball out quickly enough. So, yeah, basically one of those two guys plays, and I truly believe they'll be under that. I'd say 2 or 3 sacks with, you know, a lot more pressures, I would say, with Rodgers kind of running around as Rodgers does, with pockets collapsing and whatnot. But, you know, with how good the interior of that line still is, and especially if it's Bakhtiari that ends up playing on Thursday night, and they just have to send Ty Montgomery to chip an edge rusher on McCray's side, yeah, I feel pretty confident. And it looks like those two guys are going to play this week. So, yeah, I think it's an easy under for me this week. Rodgers is just going to feel spoiled all of a sudden after just being hit time after time for the first 3 weeks. He's only going to get hit half those times this time. So, yeah, I think he's got this.
Dusty.
Yeah, I mean, so through 3 games, the Bears have 7 sacks. So to think that they're going to have over 4.5, so like 5, is a bit of a reach. But then we just saw what the Bengals did. I mean, if Bulaga and Bakhtiari are back, that's cool. But Bulaga was back already and then got re-injured and had to leave the game. And Bakhtiari, I mean, I hope that he's going to be 100%. I don't bank on either of these guys being 100%. We've seen what that line looks like. We said, you know, Murphy's already out. That Chicago front 7 is terrifying. They can get after the passer, and the Packers just don't have the line to deal with that right now. Even if you go short passing game, I still don't think that you can totally negate what they can do. I think, we'll get the, you know, the scores later. I think the Packers will win this, but I do think Rodgers is going down a lot. Saying 5 is a lot. 5 also is fairly reasonable given how this offensive line is looking.
Well argued, gentlemen. Well argued. I'm going to give it to Dusty. I'm definitely more in the glass half empty category, I guess, for this upcoming game. I agree with Brian, and when he said with Bakhtiari and Bulaga, I'd feel much better having one of them out there. That being said, I sincerely doubt Bakhtiari is going to go out. And Bulaga, again, you said he got hurt in this last game.
But we signed Ulrich John.
Yeah. Yes, we did.
Duh.
That's true.
So
never mind. Point to, no, I'm just kidding.
yeah, he's going to the Pro Bowl. Watch.
He's like a character from A Knight's Tale. With Heath Ledger.
Ulrich John.
And facing him is Ulrich John. Sorry, bad joke. Bad joke, guys.
Oh boy.
Anyways. we're gonna give the point to Dusty there for that one. All right, our second question. We're gonna go right back to Dusty.
Hey.
And this time John is gonna join him.
Put me in, coach.
All right. So guys, the question is now.
Maybe we should bench you.
No, never. Never. I'm always starting point guard.
On a football podcast. Can the Green Bay Packers, are they going to be able to contain Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen if Mike Daniels is unable to play? So Dusty, if it's heads, they will be able to contain them. And if it is tails, they will not be able to contain them. It is heads. They will be able to contain.
Yeah,
Jordan Howard and
Cohen. Howard and Cohen are dynamite, and that Bears offensive line opens up quite a bit of holes for them to run through. And both of those guys, I mean, especially Cohen. I didn't know a ton about Cohen coming in this season, but that dude is tough to bring down. Like, he's a small guy, but he's built like a tank. He can cut on a dime. Like, he's very, very good. They're both hard to bring down. They're both good after contact. They both hit holes hard. But you know, Daniels is practicing. Daniels is practicing, so he may be back. But even without him, I saw some promising things. This past week, we saw Martinez play really, really well. Burnett was down the box. Jones, man, Josh Jones turned in a performance that we kind of thought he was going to do in training camp. And he looked – he had a couple, maybe one or two missed tackles early, and he turned in a dynamite game. Quentin Dial was holding it down in the middle. Kenny Clark looked good. Nick Perry practiced, so he should be back. That front seven, they got Bengals ran on him a little bit, but I think they've got the pieces there. I think to contain these two guys. I mean, and part of that too is you don't really have to worry too much about Glennon. Like, they got some speed at receiver. They could beat you over the top, but they're not going to because it's Mike Glennon. So, like, you can stack that box and just stack up that run and force Glennon to throw. And if he beats you a couple times, he beats you a couple times and you lay off. But I don't think Glennon can beat him. I don't think they have the weapons to beat him. I don't think Glennon has the arm or skill to beat them there. So I think they can stack up the line. And I think they've got the pieces, and they showed this past week, they've got the pieces, I think, to shut down a running game if they need to. And I think that shows through a little bit this week.
John.
I mean, we are obviously assuming that Mike Daniels is not playing in this game. That's what the question poses. And what Dusty said right off the bat is that Howard and Cohen are dynamite. These guys have pretty much been the reason why the Bears have had any success this season so far. And without Daniels, we've seen the Packers just get torched in the run game. And with Daniels is the heart of this defensive line. And without him, it just seems like I saw Quentin Dial just kind of running around out there, and that could be because he's not fully acclimated to what the Packers defensive system is yet, just being a new signing, under less than a month ago. And it's just no one's really been able to fully fill that gap that Mike Daniels has, that Mike Daniels plugs when he's in there. And these two guys have just come out this season just guns blazing. They're the perfect thunder and lightning combo, and they're what every NFL team wants in their backfield is what they have right now. And the Packers have such a difficult task ahead of them this Sunday, stopping them. And as Dusty pointed out too, Mike Glennon is not going to beat the Packers with his arm. So they're going to rely solely on the run game. I think the run game is going to be good for the Bears, but it's not going to be enough to beat the Packers, but they are going to put up some solid, solid numbers this week.
All right. I'm actually going to give John the point here, and I'll say why. For one, while I agree with you, Dusty, on what you're talking about with Mike Glennon and the fact that they can stack the box more against the Bears than the Bengals, I do believe you sold the performance of the front seven a little high.
I did.
I agree. I definitely agree more with John about it, especially Quentin Dial's performance on Sunday. It was not great. It was not great at all. And he was brought in to stop the run. It didn't go that well. So if he steps up, I'll feel a lot better. But without Daniels, I'm not sure if that's going to happen, especially on a short week of practice right after game on Sunday. So, John, you get the point
for that.
Thank
you, Jordan.
But a good debate. Good debate. That was good. That was very good. All right.
We got Jordan one more, boys. Picking the winners this week on merit, and I'm not sure.
No one's first time in Packs of the Future history is the coin tosses are based on merit. This is craziness.
No, I don't like it.
I don't like it. I combed my hair today, hoping that would kind of like turn the tide.
It didn't. And I didn't comb my hair today, hoping that would turn the tide. But
none of it worked. I don't know what Jordan's doing over here.
Well, Dusty, I gave you one, so I mean, maybe that was the.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Jordan.
Yeah.
I didn't actually comb my hair today.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
I knew you were bluffing.
Hey, Brian, right. Bring it on, bro.
Let's do it. It is John and Brian. And the question is, will the Packers finally, in week four, intercept a pass?
Oh, my gosh.
So John, nice. I'm going to propose this question to you first. If it is heads, the Packers will intercept a pass. If it is tails, they will not. And it is tails. The Packers will not intercept a pass against the Bears on Thursday night.
I mean, let's just start off with the basics right now. Mike Glennon is a Pro Bowl quarterback, and he takes care of the ball so extremely well. That is going to be.
I can see. I have no rebuttal.
It is going to be very hard for the Packers to stop such an elite quarterback. But at the same time, they're going to have to game plan for this guy. And what we've seen so far in the Packers secondary is a very strong couple performances racked together by Kevin King. We've seen Josh Jones come in. It's two rookies that are pretty much headlining. Our defensive backs right now, and they're still getting acclimated to the game. And I firmly believe that these guys will have multiple interceptions by the end of the year. but I think they just still need a little bit more seasoning to really develop their ball hawking skills in the NFL and knowing where to be and all those things. It's a lot to acclimate yourself from college to the pros, and these guys have looked super in doing it so far. But I think that their best is yet to come, and just not quite yet this week, but they will have their interceptions.
Brian.
All right. To counter John's brilliant point, Mike Glennon is actually not a Pro Bowl quarterback, and he's actually super duper terrible.
What?
Yeah, he's really bad. Despite his price tag of like $15 million a year over 3 years, he's actually really not very good. And like the Bears were the only ones apparently that couldn't predict that he's really bad. That move just never made any sense to me or anybody else I know. So they are so unbelievably due to get an interception on this game. Like, you have to go back to 2012 for the last time they went the first three games of the season without an interception. We have way too many playmakers in this secondary. You know, injuries up front or not, there's got to be one just terrible throw that Mike Glennon is prepared to make. And, you know, I'm sure he's been studying film of the great Jay Cutler, just learning how to be a Bears quarterback. Like, everything's just culminating here for an obvious interception week for the Packers.
All right. This one, I got to give it to Brian.
Absolutely.
giving me fake news right off the bat. That's not how you win.
I mean,
that's
Brian, win a, win Brian rocked. Brian rocked a great stat, which I'm 2012 was first. What was that stat again, Brian? 2012, the first time we didn't have an interception in the first three weeks.
He made that up. He didn't actually look that up. Yeah, he made that up.
What? Yeah. Jordan, reverse. Yeah. Reverse.
Rick
Omaha. Omaha. Omaha.
Cannot. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. So you guys all go 1-1-1.
Oh, and Brian wins.
Yeah, but I got the tiebreaker for saying 1982.
You get the tiebreaker. There you go.
But what do I get? I'm such a disadvantage for bringing the question of the day to you guys, and I don't get any kicker.
Make better arguments.
Oh, yeah, that's such that's, a
that was also
that's what I would try.
That was also for me. That was a note for myself as well.
And to be honest, the leader of the secondary is always going to be Haha. So I mean, I was already BSing from the get go. But hey, congratulations, Brian, on another victory. I think you're 54-0 now in coin tosses, and
we looked something like that. If you check the official stats page of PackToTheFuture.com,
does not exist.
I think that's where, 50,
is that that private
page? 54 now.
Brian, that's the private page that we don't have access to.
we haven't done 54 coin tosses.
You have the editing rights to every, I remember that.
Well, I mean, no comment. Let's just be honest. After an exasperating coin toss segment by Jordan, we will now be entering a very enthralling interview from Brian Fonfara with Mr. Brian Aviles, who is also number one in our hearts and number one in the Packers podcast power rankings. Pack to the Future podcast power rankings. So, ladies and gentlemen, for your listening pleasure, Brian Fonfara and Brian Aviles.
All right, guys, Brian here, and I am with our resident Bears fan and overall biggest fan of the podcast, Brian Aviles. Brian, how you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Hey, I asked a question the other day and was wondering if I was still your number one fan. I didn't hear you guys answer that. Am I still your guys' number one fan?
Oh, I'm sure you are. Like, you've listened to more than one episode, so that probably puts you up above everybody else at this point. So
yeah, but you guys are doing good things. You're growing in your fan base. So I didn't know if, you know, the fact that I'm a Bears fan, you know, just knocks me down a peg or
hey, we're making it big, but we're not forgetting the little people, Brian.
Okay, I appreciate
that. Don't you worry about that. All right. Well, against your will, I'm going to make you talk a little bit of Bears football here. So,
yes, this is the first time I am not looking forward to talking about the Bears on this show.
On that note, let's jump right into it. You guys beat the Steelers somehow on Sunday afternoon.
So, to put it delicately, what the hell happened?
I am still trying to figure that out myself. You know, obviously, if you look at the numbers, we did what the Chicago Bears should be doing, and that's re-ran the ball. We continued to run the ball, and we didn't let Mike Glennon, you know, cause us to lose the game. If you look at the first 3 weeks, you know, we've seen the formula for the Bears to succeed, and that's play good defense and stay away from turnovers. Week one, we did that against the Falcons, and we looked a lot better than I thought we would. Week two, Glennon turned the ball over 3 times. We turned it over 4 times as a team. We got destroyed. And then week three, we just decided, you know, let's not throw it. Let's just hand it to Howard, hand it to Cohen all game. And because of that, we were able to keep the score low. The defense did what the defense is expected to do week in and week out. And I think that's going to be the formula for Bears football this season, at least until Glennon is finally benched.
Until Glennon is finally benched. Always nice to have $15 million worth of salary on the bench, hey?
Oh, yeah, that's the dream for every team. I don't know why the Packers aren't doing it. I think that is the reason why they haven't been able to win a Super Bowl, is they haven't wasted money.
Yeah, yeah. Only a matter of time. All right, let's talk about that defense of yours that has been a highlight, specifically that front seven.
Yes.
Now, there's every possibility that Bulaga and Bakhtiari play on Thursday night, but there's every possibility that McCray and Ulrich John are starting tackles on Thursday night. So, my goodness, how much is your front seven just licking its chops waiting for Thursday night to happen?
Yeah, I mean, your guys' weakness plays to our strength, that's for sure. Going into the season, I said we were going to have a top five front seven. Our best linebacker goes down with injury, and then his backup goes down with injury, but we didn't miss a beat without Freeman. And the front seven looks really good, specifically Akeem Hicks. I'm really happy that we are able to re-sign him to an extension. He just does a great job clogging up the middle. He gets to the quarterback. We're still waiting for more from Leonard Floyd. The first few weeks, he's been in coverage a lot, so he hasn't had as many opportunities to get to the quarterback. But I think this week, with the injuries you have to your guys' line, I can see him, you know, getting maybe a sack or two this game. But, you know, the way the NFL works, you expect something and something else happens. So I also wouldn't be surprised if you guys figure it out this week and find a way to slow down our pass rush.
That'd be nice. Like I said, unless Bakhtiari and Bulaga are there, I don't see it. I think it's going to be a really long day for Aaron Rodgers, who's been sacked about 332 times in the first 3 weeks. Don't quote me on that, but I think I'm pretty close.
And the nice thing, too, especially if you guys have backup tackles in there, the Bears have depth on the outside linebacker. When you have a guy like Pernell McPhee only getting about 10 to 15 snaps a game, that tells you the depth that you have at the position. So, you know, if we can find ways to rotate the guys in and out of the game without, you know, having Rodgers do what he does best and, you know, cause a 12 men on the field, I think, you know, we're going to have a good shot at least tiring you guys out a little bit, if not completely slow you guys down.
Yeah.
I hope. All right. That's me being optimistic. I told you I wasn't going to be, but
that was pretty damn optimistic. I'm very proud of you. I know that took a lot. let's talk receivers and offense in total, I guess. This receiving corps seems like it has some talent, but they really haven't put up any numbers this year. Is that a talent issue, or is that a Mike Glennon is your quarterback issue?
That is a Mike Glennon is your quarterback issue. I think we do have talent at the receiving corps. I was telling you guys earlier, we don't have a number one guy. Cameron Meredith, he showed promise last year, and we had a lot of hope that he would come in, you know, get 80 to 100 receptions this year. Being the number one guy, but unfortunately he went down with injury. And then week one, we had Kevin White go down with an injury. So you're having guys like Wright and, you know, other guys playing spots they're not supposed to. Wright's now on the outside when he's best used as a slot. We got Wheaton back. But yeah, just we went from a place of depth to a place of no depth after those two injuries. And so, yeah, there's just there's not much to be optimistic about when it comes to the pass game, and it doesn't help when, you know, the defense doesn't have to cover, you know, the deep ball. So all they got to do is sit and, you know, allow Glennon to dink and dump, and then eventually wait for Glennon to make a dumb throw, which he's done in every single game so far this season. It's really telling when you can look at our receptions and see that our leader is Tariq Cohen, who is our backup running back. He leads in receptions, and so that tells you just a lot about the issues we have with Glennon.
All right, so we talked plenty about the issues with Glennon, so riddle me this. Is it Mitchell Trubisky's time?
I want to say it is because I'm tired of watching Glennon, but that being said, going into the season, I liked their game plan. From the moment they signed Glennon, I said that I think their plan is to get a quarterback in the draft. Now, I didn't think they'd move up to get Trubisky. I was thinking, you know, second round or even trading back for someone like Watson. So I was shocked that we got Trubisky, but you knew all along the plan was to bring in a guy, have him sit a year, groom, and not throw him in, out there to, you know, make mistakes. I mean, we're already talked about the receiving issues. So there's no reason to have Trubisky out there throwing to nobody and, you know, chances of getting hurt, you know, not just physically, but also mentally with his ego. So I like the game plan to sit him. But I do think at some point, I think you just got to throw him out there some point in the season and, you know, hope he can learn. And also just for Bears fans' sanity, because people here in Chicago are really going insane over watching Glennon play. And, you know, we had 7 years of Cutler. We should be used to this, but this is a different kind of bad.
Yeah, yeah. All right. All that being said, let's talk about the game to be Brian. Break down how you see this going down and end that conversation with a score prediction for us.
I haven't really thought about a prediction score-wise, but I see it being a lot like the last Thursday night game, where the first half, it was, you know, slow, not a whole lot of offense. The Bears got a defensive touchdown in that game, but other than that, our offense did nothing. So I can see the Bears defense being a lot like Cincinnati's defense in the first half and look good against you guys. But I think eventually, with our inability to you know, really do much on offense, the defense is going to be out there. They're going to get tired, and Rodgers is going to do what he does to the Bears every year. And I think, you know, some point he's going to capitalize on our defense just not paying attention, throwing a deep ball because, you know, a safety decides to, you know, creep up when he shouldn't, or, you know, whatever it is. There's just always just seems to be a defensive mistake late in the game where we play you guys. And it has a lot to do with us being tired, and then also just Rodgers being who he is and being able to read our defense pretty well. So I would say 24-10, something like that. I think you guys win by two scores.
That'd be nice.
I think we can get maybe a fumble at some point in the game, force a fumble and get good field position and score, but I don't see us being able to drive down the field consistently against you guys, especially after a short week.
All right. Fair enough. Brian, tell the good people at home where they can find any conversations you'll have about Bears football online.
You can see me rant and rave on Twitter at BrianBBLL148. You'll see more negative stuff than positive stuff, but hopefully this week we can see some positive. And I actually wanted to pose a question to you.
All right.
Yeah, I am a huge fan of Martellus Bennett. Huge fan as a person, as a player. I want to know what your guys' opinion or what your opinion is on why it is he's having a slow start this season.
I think I would bet that all the off-the-field stuff that's happening to him this offseason and happening to his brother has had at least a mild effect. But I think the bigger issue is that he's just been called to pass protection so much. He's almost been like our sixth offensive lineman. You know, Bakhtiari hasn't played in a couple weeks, and Bulaga has barely played at all this season. And, you know, like I mentioned, McCray being a guard, he is starting at tackle. He's a guard. He's not a tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Murphy, who's now, goodness gracious, now he's on injured reserve. He's not a left tackle. He's a guard, maybe a right tackle in the right situation. So they've been decimated on that tackle spot, and he's been on pass protection so much. He does need to work on the drops. He has had a few of those, but in the end, I think it's just that he's focusing so much on blocking, and he's done a really good job of it. And once we get Bulaga and Bakhtiari healthy, I think he'll be right back at it, no problem.
And that's the good thing about Bennett is he can do both. He can block and he can catch. Now you do get those drops. We had a lot of those drops from him here in Chicago as well. But you know, along with those drops, you get a lot of spectacular catches and spectacular plays. So I'm really excited to see by the end of the season what him and Rodgers look like together, because I think it can be very dangerous for you guys.
Same here. And you can also consider that it took a while for Jared Cook to really be part of this offense last year too. So yeah, I think once the chemistry is established, I think they're going to do some special stuff down the stretch. So, all right, Brian, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for predicting a Packers win.
No problem. I love listening to you guys. Love being on.
All right, take it easy, fella.
By golly, Brian, I swear your interviewing skills just get better week by week. What an amazing interview that was. Did you have fun?
That was a ton of fun. That was so much fun.
I bet it was. I mean, I remember back in the day, I would interview Avilas, and he was nothing but a bundle of energy and a basket full of knowledge.
I thought he was a bundle of knowledge and basket
just
of energy.
A bundle of joy. Just a you're the tiny host. Little bundle of joy.
Yeah, he's all the above. He is a peck of solid wisdom.
Time there's a peck of solid wisdom.
Yes, absolutely. Woo, woo, woo. Well bang, played. Bang. Well, let's go.
Did you have fun taking that L, Jordan?
I'll bounce back.
Well, as always, it is always amazing to have Brian Avilas on with us, and truth. Which means we are talking about Packers v. Bears. That's what that means to me, and it is one of my favorite games of the season. I actually prefer the Packers going to Soldier Field just so we can rip all the heart out of that city and just come out of there with a W, but not quite yet this year. We have to get prepared for the Bears at Lambeau. And Jordan, what do the Packers have to do on Thursday to beat the Bears?
All right, first key to the game, we kind of talked about a little bit. It was even one of our coin toss questions, but we need to contain Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen. That needs to be the focal point of the defense. A lot of points are made in the coin toss questions, particularly Brian, just about the skill level that they have at quarterback and how that really doesn't pose too much of a threat to us. But these guys do pose a threat, and they're capable of making big plays. So we need to be containing those guys. That's the first key. Second key, it certainly seems like our offensive line is going to be considerably banged up again. So the second key is to help out those offensive tackles, give them as much help as possible. They did that most of the time on Sunday against the Bengals. A lot of Martellus Bennett, a little bit of Ripkowski, Montgomery doing a lot of pass protection as well. Montgomery doing okay in pass protection. It needs to be better. Rodgers cannot keep taking as many hits as he's taken. He's going to go down. He's going to get hurt at some point. He's another year older, and he's been known to get hurt. He usually gets dinged every year. The more hits he takes, the more likelihood that him getting hurt happens. So they need to do whatever it takes to keep him on his feet, being able to make some plays in the pocket, outside the pocket, but help out our makeshift offensive line. And the third one, actually go into our running game a little bit. We had talked a lot of last week about Ty Montgomery, his role in the offense, and I talked him up pretty good last week, I believe, in our coin toss question. I can't remember if it was against John or Dusty. But he had a little bit of – he was a little aggravating to watch this past Sunday, Ty Montgomery. A lot of dancing around in the backfield when he should just be hitting the holes. Usually his patience serves him well, on quite a few occasions it did not. There were places that he could have run, at least hit the hole. When he does, when he gets moving, he's usually going to fall forward. There were a lot of times where he was falling backwards. I know he got a little bit hurt, and that's probably going to be carrying into this Thursday again on the short week. So my third key, all that being said, the third key, I'd like to see more Jamal Williams in there. Maybe even Aaron Jones. You got to figure with all these offensive linemen and guys going to be inactive, you've got to figure Aaron Jones is going to be active for this game coming up on Thursday. So I'd like to see just a little bit of variety with our running backs. Try to kind of shake it up a little bit. Maybe even throw in a little more screen plays. Do something a little bit different. Quick throws, get the ball out of Rodgers' hands. Just try to be a little more creative with those guys. But I'd like to see more of the rookie running backs. We drafted three of them for a reason. I think this is the week we see them used a little bit more, considering the injury to Montgomery. So those are my three keys going into Thursday night against Chicago.
And what is your final score prediction?
This game scares me. This game scares me, especially with all of the injuries that we've been talking about. I still think with being at Lambeau, having Aaron Rodgers, I still see this as a victory, but in a really, really close game. I don't see us putting up a lot of points. We scored 27 against the Bengals, and three of those were courtesy of bonus football. I don't see us exceeding that. In fact, I see us going down a little bit in that category. So I'm going to pick the Packers to win 20-19. Field goals the difference.
Ooh, classic Packers Bears shootout right there. Yep. And Dusty, by the numbers.
Hey. Yeah, I mean, we've talked about, and Jordan just brought him up again, but you know, we talked about Howard and Cohen a couple times, and rightly so. They're terrifying, and the Bears lean on them heavily. They account for 53.9% of the Bears' total offensive yards, whether that's on the ground or through the air. So those guys are a focal point of that offense, and for good reason. Like, they're both just insane players. Just one of them is good. Both of them together are terrifying. So if they want any hope, and we talked about it, Jordan, you're right not to give me the point because I didn't believe a single word I was saying. It's going to be tough. Like, even with Daniels in there, even if Daniels plays this week, they're going to be tough to contain. Like, that Bears line, I don't know how they are in pass protection, but run blocking, they seem to open holes. And even with Daniels in there plugging, you're still going to have holes along that line. And some of those guys just aren't coming along like I kind of hoped they would. We talked before the season about that front seven. I don't think they're where we thought they were going to be yet, even though the linebackers are looking pretty good. So, yeah, I mean, that's going to be – they need to shut those guys down. I was shocked to find out that the Bears are giving up as many points as they are. And I guess it's just – I mean, I've watched the games, and I've not really paid attention to the scores, I guess. But they're giving up 23 points per game, which is 22nd in the league. And that defense is terrifying. And what I've seen, I guess, is just that defense kind of gets worn down. That offense just ends up stalling. Glennon can't do anything if you're able to bottle up those running backs. And that defense just kind of gets worn down a little. So they're only putting up 15.7 points per game because they're not good. I mean, you can run those two guys, but unless they bust one long, which they can, it's hard to sustain a drive just by running the ball all the time, which is kind of what they have to do. So yeah, I mean, the key is the running game, obviously. And even not the running game, just even the short passing game as well. I've got one more. I guess the Packers throw short left 41.5% of the time. And when they do, they complete 68% of their passes for 6.4 yards per attempt, which is pretty good. They go that direction quite a bit, whether that's and short is defined as anything 15 yards or less. So they go that way a lot with wide receiver screens. You get those out routes, you get drags. They like to go that way quite a bit. Again, 41.5% of the time is a lot. In defending that short left, the Bears allow a 72.4% completion percentage and 7 yards per attempt. So the Packers like to go that way anyway. I expect them to target that area. So if you're looking for them for a place where they're going to be throwing, look to the left outside the hash within about 15 yards of the line of scrimmage. And that's where the Packers, I think, are going to do their damage. And the Bears are going to have a hard time containing that. And that's going to – I mean, that backs up to a lot of the quick throws that the Packers are probably going to have to do, even if this line's healthy. So just look out for that short left throw from the Packers.
And what is your final score prediction, Dusty?
I'm kind of like Jordan. Yeah, I don't see a ton of scoring, and that's even with a healthy line. This Bears defense is good. and the Packers notoriously off to a slow start. They're doing it again, and I mean they have the injuries, but every team's got injuries. They just got to get off to a slow start. So I've picked them high through the first 3 weeks, and they've not really done what I thought they were going to do. So I'm going to go ahead and go low this time and hope that they prove me wrong. So I'm going to go Packers 17-10.
And Brian, anything that you want to add about this upcoming Thursday night game, and what is your final score prediction?
I am just as nervous as the other two guys are so far, especially if Bakhtiari and Bulaga can't play, especially if Mike Daniels can't play. Honestly, I think those offensive linemen are a lot more important to us winning than Daniels is, because we have a lot better cover for Daniels than we do Bakhtiari and Bulaga. I do not want to see Ulrich Jahns starting at left tackle for us on Sunday. That is, oh my God, I might pee my pants if that happens. I don't think I could handle that. I can't see us losing it though. I just think that we're the better team even without those tackles. I do think it's going to be close. It's going to be another one of those. It's going to be another Bengals situation where we should have handled this a little bit better, but we don't. But they do squeak it out in the end. I'm going to say 20-13 Packers win.
And I will go ahead and add just a little bit to it. I really, really, really liked what I saw out of Geronimo Allison this past week. And I think that him and Aaron are kind of building up a nice little repertoire between the two of them. And that just adds another weapon to this already just weapon-filled assault that the Packers can bring to the table. And I know that we are kind of down on offensive linemen right now, but I love the mobility of Rodgers. I would love to see him roll out of the pocket a lot more. And I see the Packers throwing together a lot of really good drives and it being a busy day for Mason Crosby, with the Packers winning 23-17. And that is how the cookie is going to bake this week. And with that being said,
not a real phrase.
It is not a phrase at all, but it is now a phrase.
Like crumble.
I like it though. I like it, John. I like that you went for
it. I was trying something a little different, you know. But I make a lot of cooking references on this show, and I don't even cook, to be honest.
Just listen to a lot of Action Bronson, right? You pick up all your cooking tips from Action Bronson. Just throw those in.
I am writing that down, and it is going to happen. But that leads us into our final thought segment. And Brian Fonfara, please entertain us with your final thought this week.
All right, I've got a few this week. One, I'm making it my new mission to bring you back down to earth after every Packers game, win or lose. So I'm going to bring up 3 points from the game that happened this past Sunday. Since it was a win, I'm going to do 2 negative points followed by 1 positive point. One negative point I was going to bring up, Jordan already did this, Ty Montgomery, not his best game in pass protection or in running. I saw, especially rewatching the game, I saw several runs where he turned a 5 to 10, maybe even more yard gain into a 2 yard gain or a 1 yard loss. Even like, he really struggled in this one. He did have to focus a lot on pass protection, which, you know, when that's your focus, it's kind of hard to get going in the running game. So I'll give him that. I'll give him the fact that he was running behind McCray and Murphy instead of Bulaga and Bakhtiari. I'll give him all that. But he really did struggle this week. And then there's the defense, which is actually kind of my second negative and my positive. I'll start with the negative. They got bailed out a few times by Andy Dalton just making terrible throws, like really bad throws to wide open receivers. He had AJ Green for what could have been another touchdown, and he threw the ball like 10 yards over his head and out of bounds. So it was really bad. that might have been the play of the game by our defense. And then the other negative, they didn't force any turnovers against a guy who was making throws like that. So some negatives there. But then they made adjustments. It was right on cue. Tony Romo said, you know, they're past their script now. Now is the time where they can make adjustments in this game. And they had already allowed 14 points on defense. They only allowed 3 the whole rest of the game. as soon as Romo said they're past their script and now's the time where they can kind of adjust to the way the game is being played, boom, they adjusted to it. And Andy Dalton bailing them out or not, they were really good the rest of that game. The way they performed in the second half was fantastic. That drive they had on in the overtime period, fantastic. So a lot of good things came out of this game on the defensive side of the ball when it looked like that was not going to be the case. So there, I hope it brought you back down to earth and you don't have to suffer the emotional roller coaster that is a Packer season. My next one, so one of the things I did last year in my final thoughts was to call out the dumbest thing I saw on social media. And there wasn't one in particular this week, but a lot of people criticizing Kyle Murphy. And I just think that's ridiculous. I feel for the guy. The guy's a guard, maybe a right tackle, depth at right tackle. But for him to have to go in and play two games in a row against two really good defenses with good pass rushes at left tackle, he did better than I ever expected that he would. So I think everybody needs to lay off him a bit. And my final thought is there is a new podcast to the Pack to the Future network, woo! Bringing our total up to 5 this week. This one is called Bleeding Green and Gold. It is a father-son duo. The father, I guess, used to be in local Wisconsin radio, and now he and his son meet up in his recording studio in his basement every week, and they recap what happened in the game. They look forward to the next one, so good, wholesome family fun in a Packers podcast. What more could you ask for? So check out Bleeding Green and Gold. And of course, don't forget about all of our other podcasts. This one, of course, that you haven't forgotten about because you're listening to right now. There's also The Sweep with Fred Thurston and Blaine Hornus. There's Blue Cheese Radio. You got Michael and Tyler on that one. That's a good one. And then Packers in Law with Jake and Andy, another good one. So listen to all of them. Pretty, pretty please. And you can find me on Twitter at @PTTF_Brian and our group at @PTTF_podcast.
Just got to say, I think Down to Earth is one of my top 5 favorite movies, and I think that Chris Rock should have won an Oscar for it. Dusty, yeah. What are your final thoughts this evening?
All right, so I got 3. First one is I do a look at cheapest tickets coming up this week, which This one shocked me. This one, I really shocked me. It's not the Colts. Ooh. It's not the Browns. It's not the Chiefs. It's none of our regular teams that normally pop up in these things. The cheapest ticket, it's the Rams, who have actually been playing pretty well this year. They've scored 35.7 points per game, tops in the league. Top scoring offense in the league through 3 weeks. The Rams going into Dallas to face the Cowboys. It's $9. It's $9. Like, going...
At Cowboys Stadium?
Yeah, at Cowboys Stadium. It's in Dallas. So that's
a little bit Cowboys fan.
Top scoring offense in the league coming into Dallas. Cowboys have not necessarily been themselves, but they're still pretty good. One of the top draws in the NFL, like one of the better stadiums, or at least most talked about stadiums in the NFL, and it's $9. That's crazy to me. And it's and this is our first single digit dollar amount ticket of the year so far, of the season so far. I think the lowest was like 13 before this. $9. Like, I assume that's cheaper than a tour of that stadium that you can go catch a game. So it might not be a bad game. I mean Rams Niners last Thursday was good. Like, Rams aren't terrible. At least they're not. They haven't been bad yet, so that could be good. Second final thought. I'm gonna go. Listen, man, spooky season's coming up. I'm wearing, the listeners cannot see this, but I'm wearing my zombie versus shark shirt from the movie Zombie that an artist made. one of my favorite horror writers artists made. So I'm gonna go ahead and say from here on out, through the end of October, we'll just talk about some random movie that I like to watch during the month of October. And we talked about this pre-show. It's Ghoulies. I don't know how many people have seen Ghoulies. It's my all-time favorite tagline. It's a little green ghoul coming out of a toilet, and it says, "They'll get you in the end." And it, I just, it makes me chuckle. Just every single time it makes me chuckle. The synopsis on IMDb is, a young man and his girlfriend move into an old mansion home where he becomes possessed by a desire to control ancient demons. And that's very, very accurate. He controls ancient demons, and these little demons that run around, and there's four movies in the series, and it gets increasingly more goofy, and the third one is Matthew Lillard's first role, and the Ghoulies go to college, and so it gets a little goofy, but the first one, it's dumb. It's really, really dumb, and it came out in 84. It's super 80s, but it's a lot of fun, and it's one that I found myself watching every year when the season starts to turn, so... Ghoulies, if you're looking for a big dumb movie, it's an hour and 23 minutes, 21 minutes. You can get through it pretty quick. I think it came out around the same time as the first Troll, which I recently rewatched Troll, and it's terrible. But the main character's name is Harry Potter, which I found to be funny. So watch Ghoulies. And my last one is actually going to be about this game that I mentioned at the beginning. Man, the ending of this game was just tremendous. I know we should have beat the Bengals. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that we should have beat them fairly bad. They hadn't scored a touchdown coming into this game. And, I mean, you can talk about the script all you want. The fact is that they marched down to two touchdowns relatively unimpeded. Like that, against an offense that had done nothing, that was a little disheartening to see. But the way they fought back, despite, you know, that offensive line getting beat up, that throw to Jordy to tie up the game with 17 seconds left was just an insane throw. A throw that only Rodgers can make. That rolling out, that moving pocket, quick throw, low to the outside where only Jordy could make it. Just an insane throw. And then the Allison catch juke to essentially ice the game in overtime. Like, just, it was not a pretty game. And if I ever watch it again, which I guess I have so far, if I ever watch it just for fun, I'm going to turn it on at the start of halftime. It's going to be halftime. I'm going to start it. But an ugly game, but an exciting ending with I think I'm going to look back on this game fondly as the weeks go on, just the sake that it was an exciting ending. So, I don't know, ugly game, but just, it left me with some good memories. It was a really good ending. It's been a while since I've felt that happy about it, but that Cowboys playoff game was something else. So, yeah, it was a good ending, despite the fact that it was ugly. So, I enjoyed it.
Anytime you see Rodgers get fired up, it just makes you feel a special way inside.
It does.
It really does. And I share your same sentiments, Dusty. And Dusty Evesley,
yes,
you're on Twitter.
I am. You can find me at Dusty Evesley. And I started another one this past week because of the Nagler stuff where you got like booted off Twitter. And so I'm posting GIFs over an account called All22 Talk. Just so in case that gets suspended, so I don't lose my main account. But yeah, I'm just kind of doing kind of post game stuff, kind of do some stuff throughout the week. So it's just going to be pure football, football gifts. It's been fun so far.
So it looks like Nagler is back, but they took away his verified status. Is that
right? I saw that. Yeah, it's like they just kind of like they slapped him on the wrist when he came back. Like, you can come back, but guess what, buddy? You're not verified.
Hashtag Team Nagler.
Jordan, when was the last time you got slapped on the wrist?
Never had before. Never
used Total lie.
Perfect child.
All the nuns at the Baptist high school you went to, they never hit you on the wrist with a ruler?
That was you, Brian. That was you.
Right.
So you have been slapped on the wrist. Jordan, what are your final thoughts?
So I got a couple of final thoughts. First of all, I hate to do this, Dusty. I looked up, that seemed a little too good to be true for that Dallas game, and it turns out that it actually is.
How dare you? You're stepping on my stuff. You're stepping on my bit.
Sorry.
When I saw you silent over there, I knew you were up to something, dude.
Cannot allow.
Oh my goodness, Jordan's the worst.
No, the $9 thing is for a. This is interesting. I didn't know anything about this with Cowboy Stadium. It's for a party pass, which apparently is a standing room only ticket to get you into the stadium, but you have no view of the field. You have access to six decks, public concourses, concession areas, and over 9 acres of outdoor plaza space. I'm quoting this from the Cowboys website. Fans will experience the sights, sounds, and energy of a live Dallas Cowboys game, including the view of the video board, the outdoor video boards, and live music in the plazas during pregame and postgame.
No, people.
$9, you can do that. For $9, you can do that.
Well, so go see Jaguars at Jets for $19 then. That sounds more likely. That sounds
Would much rather do that. So. Anyways, no, then talking about yesterday's game, I don't know about you guys. There were a couple pacing moments for me. Notably, 3rd and 6 in overtime when Josh Jones made the tackle. Yeah. But I don't know. The moment of the most stress for me was easily Mason Crosby's extra point to tie.
Yes.
Them making that extra point longer, I was losing my mind. And then they're icing him on an extra point. They never used to do that. And now they called 2 timeouts with an extra point. I'm like, oh gosh, just make this game. No! I was freaking out.
Yeah, I barely
even watched his game winning one in overtime. I'm like, oh, he'll make that. Like, I don't know. It was like 5 yards shorter. It made no sense. Yeah. But that was my moment of stress in the game. But no, that was, yeah, obviously the Cowboys playoff game is a whole other level, but it's just nice to see an overtime win finally. My last final thought, as we've mentioned before, we will all be in Green Bay for the New Orleans Saints game. And when season started, their first game was against the Vikings, if I'm not mistaken.
It was.
And watching that game, that was with Bradford, who's actually played out of his mind that night, if I remember right. And I'm like, all right, I can deal with this Saints team. But then I watched what they did to the Panthers this past week. I'm like, oh boy, Breeze still has it, and he still has weapons. So now I'm a lot more nervous about that game. So I'm hoping they come down to earth a little bit before that, because I want to see a win. I really want to see a win. So, but anyway, those are my thoughts.
Mike Daniels is going to eat Drew Brees' lunch.
And we'll be there. And we'll be cheering extra loud.
It's worth noting, too, that we were talking about games to go up to this year. This Bengals game was the first game we were going to go up to. This was the initial choice. It didn't work out. And I had messaged you guys halfway through the game at halftime saying, boy, I'm glad we didn't make the trip to this. And then, like, about an hour and a half later, I was very upset that we did not make the trip up for that. So,
yeah.
So, yeah.
And then Brian pointed out that it was a 90-degree day.
That's true.
I mean, I just know how that would go. Like, I would be stuck sitting between John and Jordan on a 90-degree day surrounded by tons of other people, so it'd be more like 110.
And we were going to have our shirts off.
The smell and the moisture would have overcome me, and I would have left at halftime anyway. So.
Oh. It would have been fun. I think the Saints game is going to be a great football game, and we're all looking forward to it. Jordan, please remind everyone where you are on the Twitter.
You guys can find me at JGPeck41.
And I have 2 final thoughts tonight for all of your listening pleasures. And it revolves around Packers quarterbacks. And I will start off talking about what Jordan kind of hit on a little bit, and that is the overtime record of Mr. Aaron Rodgers. You saw that last week in the game where they said that he was 0-for-7, and while I was on Twitter post-game, I saw a stat from Rob Domofsky saying, in those 7 games, Rodgers has only thrown 6 passes.
That is astounding.
Which is just outrageous.
Absolutely astounding.
Outrageous. Wow. 6 passes in 7 overtime games. Like, it's that stat just blew my mind. And that's where you leave that record at. The one of the all-time greats only throwing 6 passes in 7 overtime games. That's where you leave that stat, and hopefully Aaron gets the ball more. I mean, hopefully we don't have to take games to overtime, but if we do, let's hope that Aaron sees that ball, cuz we all saw what he can do with that thing. So that's number 1. And then number 2 is giving a shout out to the backup quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, Mr. Brett Hundley, and he just bought a youth football team, the All U's. Let me get this name right. They are called the All U's Buccaneers, and he just bought this team a whole bunch of uniforms, all new uniforms for this youth football team. And yeah, out of all the negative things that are swirling around right now, I love to hit on the positive things. And very, very awesome of you, Brett Hundley, for doing something like that and supporting youth football, which I know that has taken a kind of a hit with all this concussion talk and things like that. But I'm very much applaud your efforts to continue bringing up the future superstars of the league. And ladies and gentlemen, you can find me on Twitter at John Jameson. Very simple. And let's go ahead and wish the Packers a very successful Thursday night as we go for the all-time series win. Kind of help me out here, guys, on this one.
Win-loss record.
We'll go with the win-loss record. Thank you, Jordan. The Packers
the head-to-head, whatever
you want to call it. The Packers are going to be top dog between the Packers and Bears come Thursday night. Thank you for tuning in to us. As per usual, we are Pack to the Future. Go Pack, go.